such great energy the minute you walk in the door here. It's a beautiful place to be. Thank you for the invitation. Have you ever studied the prophet Elijah? Well, Elijah was a crusty old prophet, but one that certainly came up against a lot of foes and won, and one who left us a lot of beautiful lessons. King Ahab came up against Elijah, and Elijah told him that there would be a great famine. There would be no rain. And so King Ahab got very upset about that. And because of that, Elijah knew that he needed to get out of town. So the first account we have of him is being taken care of because God told him that the ravens would take care of him. And then after that, he was sent to a widow woman. And God said that she would provide food and water for him. So I'd like to share that scripture account. And this is from the book of 1 Kings, chapter 17. "I have commanded a widow in that place to supply you with food," said God. So Elijah went there. When he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering up sticks. He called to her and asked, "Would you bring me a little water in a jar so that I may have a drink?" Well, as she was going to get it, he called out, "And please bring me a piece of bread as well." "As surely as God lives," she replies, "I don't have any bread and only a handful of flour in a jar and just a little bit of oil in a jug. I am gathering a very few sticks to take home to make a meal for myself and my son that we may eat and then die." It was that bad. So Elijah says to her, "Don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have been told. But first make a small cake of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me, and then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord God of Israel has said. The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord gives rain on the land." She went away and did as Elijah had told her. So there was food for every day for Elijah and for the woman and her son. For the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word that the Lord had spoken to Elijah. Isn't that a great story? There was still more. So if we look at this story, we see that the prophet Elijah and the widow woman have their focus on two different things, right? Elijah is focused on God's going to provide. There's going to be plenty. Bring it on. The poor widow, though, is saying, there just isn't enough. And I'm sure she's thinking in her mind, here this guy shows up and I hardly have enough food for the two of us. And here he wants some of it. There just isn't enough. So her focus is on there isn't enough. There isn't enough. And she even talks about so few sticks to make the fire. So little flour, so little oil, not enough. Or we could say Elijah was living with an open hand, and the widow was living with a clenched fist. Now, by open hand, I don't mean a handout or gimme, gimme, gimme. I just mean that hand that is open to life, allowing God's goodness to come to us without blocking it. And of course, the fist keeps things out. So if you'll do a little exercise with me, Make a fist, okay? Now just keep making that tighter and tighter and tighter and tighter. Okay. Feel how that affects your arm. It goes right up your arm and even affects your jaw if you clench it tightly enough. It takes a lot of energy to do that. Now release that. Are you all doing this? Yes. When you release it, do you feel the energy come back in your arm? It's easy. Your jaw feels better, more relaxed. It's much easier to have that hand open than it is to clench it into a fist. So I would ask us in our life, do we live life with an open hand? Just receptive and open for the goodness that God has for us? Or do we live it with a clenched fist? Clenched fist means go away. An open hand means come. A clenched fist wages war. An open hand extends peace. A clenched fist is the symbol of hate and anger. And the open hand is one of love and acceptance. Where are we? An open hand or a clenched fist? And the result of which of those we might be is going to be what our life looks like. If we live life with an open hand, if we are expecting the good that God has for us, that's probably what's going to happen in our life. And on the other hand, if we are shut down and closed off with that fist, not letting anything in, that too is going to be what our life looks like. A clenched fist not only keeps things from coming to us, but it keeps what we have. We lose it. You ever picked up a handful of sand at the beach? And if you squeeze it and squeeze it and squeeze it, notice how the sand runs through your fingers. There's no way that you can hold it. And that's the same for us. The harder we clench and hold on, the more we keep out and the more that we lose. So why is it then that we feel the need often in life to live with that clenched fist? My fist is starting to hurt up here. Might try the other one for a while. It's a good lesson. Well, I believe one of the reasons is lack of faith, a belief in scarcity. The other is fear, fear of loss, fear of change, fear of losing control. So if we look at that first one, lack of faith in scarcity. We live in a culture where marketing and advertising tells us, hurry and get this because it's going to run out. There isn't going to be enough. Anyone ever watch the Shopping Channel? They only have 10 left, and if you don't act right now, it's going to be gone. You're not going to get that facial cream. You're going to be an old lady, and that's going to be the end of it. I mean, they really create that. Scarcity, scarcity. And there was research done on children who grow up in orphanages and sometimes in foster homes where there's a lot of children, that they eat faster than other people. And that was because it is believed that they believed in scarcity, which often was the case. There wasn't enough. So you eat as much as you can, as quick as you can, so if you want seconds, they'll be there before little Johnny gets some before you do. Scarcity. How many of us believe that there is indeed enough in the universe for all of us? I believe that too, with all my heart. And that is not to say that we put our hand in the sand and say that everyone in this world has what they need, because it is not true. That there are people in this world who go without food and water. People in this world who suffer. But being that we are all one in this world, that we have an opportunity as co-creators with God to make sure that we all have what we need in whatever way that works out for us, educating other people, helping other people. There was a movie out, probably 30 years ago or so, called Oh God. Anyone remember that movie? Oh God, it was with George Burns. Anyone remember George Burns? Well, George Burns played God, a great God. He was really good in that. And John Denver played one of the characters in the movie. Well, they're having a conversation about all the bad stuff going on in the world, all the children who are starving and sick. And John Denver's asking the question as he's shaving in the bathroom mirror, God, why is this? Why have you let this happen? So God, standing by the door, chomping on his cigar, you know, George Burns always had a cigar. He took the cigar out of his mouth and he looked at John Denver and he said, well, it's like this. When I created you all, I gave you everything you needed to take care of yourself and each other. So it's up to you. I've never forgotten that. Doesn't mean we give people a handout, but it means that we encourage them, pray for them, educate people, help them. So there is indeed enough for all. So no scarcity. We don't have faith in scarcity. We have faith in abundance, because it's right here all the time. And then the fear of change and loss and control. The change of loss. I had a couple on the East Coast who loved each other very much, no doubt about it. But he, for some reason, always felt that he was just on the verge of losing her. His self-esteem was so low. And so he constantly had that clenched fist, holding on as tight as he could, as tight as he could. And even though she loved him, after a while, not being able to just freely dance in the flow of his life, but being suffocated, she left him. It was a sad day because they both loved each other. And then after some months passed, and he began to really realize what he had done, he asked for a second chance and he began to change. And so they had a scenario. Whenever he would start being possessive and holding on so tight, she would just clench her fist and look at him, and he would know that it was time to open it up and let go. You can teach an old dog new tricks. I know that. You can. I'm a witness. I'm an example of that. So they are still together. And he said that he sometimes still goes to that place of fear and, oh, I gotta hold on because I'm gonna lose. And then he remembers to open the hand, because what God has ordained for us is ours. Don't you believe that? It's ours, and no one can take it away from us. If that is ours, if that relationship is ours, that job is ours, whatever is ours, and it's truly ordained to be ours, it is ours, period. So the fear also of change. Anyone like change? It's hard. Change is hard because we're giving up the familiar. And sometimes, even if the familiar isn't that great, at least it's familiar. So fear of giving up that relationship of holding on to it that isn't working for us anymore. Our fear of giving up that job that makes us so unhappy, but holding on to it because we fear maybe we won't get another one or we're not good enough. Holding on out of fear. And then there is the fear of losing control. William Tyndale, who was the 16th century English and Greek scholar, was the man who translated the Bible into English. Well, he had had a dream for many years to be able to take the Bible out of the hands of the leaders of church who gave it, gave the word, gave the filter to everyone, and to translate that so everyone could pick up that book and read it for themselves and understand it for themselves and make it their story. Well, you can imagine how the church reacted to that. Not very well. Because they were losing control, right? So they held tighter and tighter and tighter not to lose that control. Because if they lost that control, who were they? This is what they did. They're the ones who had the power. So that fear of losing control grew to such a height that he was hanged. Tyndale was hanged. And not only that, but hanged till he was dead, and then they burned him. They wanted to make darn sure he was gone. That is murder. Wow. Hanged and burned. So if we look at our life and ask ourselves, are we living life with an open hand, believing in the abundance of God, believing that there is enough love, enough harmony, enough peace, enough joy for us, that we don't have to hold on to it because it isn't going anywhere. And just to let those people who come into our lives just dance and flow, just move across our hand without feeling the need to hold on so tightly that we're going to lose. Or are we living, again, shut down, closed off with that clenched fist, believing that there isn't enough in God's universe for us? So my prayer for all of us is that we come into that realization that as children of God, as heirs with Christ, that we do have the abundance of God, that it is always there. And I know I hear you're starting to study the 12 powers. Is that the series you're having? No, Discover the Power. Well, of course, Eric Butterworth is a beautiful example about talking about living with an open hand and discovering the power that is in us, the power that's in all of us. And all we have to do is to be open to it and to welcome it. So do we live life with an open hand or with a clenched fist? The choice is ours. And so with that question on our mind, let's now join together in an affirmation that is said in every Unity Church every time there's a meeting, whether it's Sunday morning, whether it's Wednesday night, whenever it is the affirmation of the truth of who God is and where we are. So will you join with me as we affirm together that there is only one presence together? There is only one presence and one power in the universe and at work in my life, God the good, omnipotent.